As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in Psalm 72 and the 17th verse. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Psalm 72 and the 17th verse. The heading of this wonderful psalm is a psalm for Solomon, but you must understand a greater than Solomon is here. This is emphatically a psalm setting forth Jesus Christ as the sinner's friend. And as you read the psalm down, it is very evident that Jesus Christ is the person referred to all the way through it. He shall judge thy people with righteousness. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. He shall have dominion. And remember, that must come into our lives if Jesus Christ is indeed our Lord and our God. That is one sure test if our religion is that which God is the author of. He shall have dominion. You will remember, Godly John tells us in the book of Revelation that he heard them singing in the realms of bliss, and the line of things they were singing about was, "Unto him that loved us and washed us in his own blood be dominion." And if you and I are going to join in that wonderful song in the realms of bliss, we must have this made manifest in our lives, that our lives must evidence he shall have dominion. That ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your spirit. For you are his, and unto him you must live. And then it tells us he shall deliver the needy when he crieth. He shall redeem their soul, and he shall live. And there is one word here I want to make a comment on. And he shall live. Prayer also shall be made for him continually. You might think it should be to him. So it is to him. But here it is for him. And that will come into your petitions too, if Jesus Christ has dominion over your lips and lives. What does it really mean? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Prayer also shall be made for him. Great God, thy kingdom come, with reverence we would pray. May the eternal three in one his sovereign scepter sway. And in our text, from which I hope to say something which will be a help to you, as God shall enable me, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. You see, this subject follows our morning subject. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. And Jesus Christ is the blessed source whence every blessing comes down to you and to me as grace is given. And the Apostle Paul makes that very plain in the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If you have any sure evidence that God has blessed you with a spiritual blessing, it came to you because men shall be blessed in him, and it makes plain that you are in him. And what does that mean? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A wonderful mercy. And now I want to look at the subject from two or three viewpoints of it. And there are so many viewpoints that one needs grace to know which viewpoint to choose from which to say something helpful to you. But we will look first of all at his name. His name shall endure forever. The margin is very striking, yet very simple. You often find striking truth is set forth very simply, and it just tells us his name shall be. Our names, whatever they are, begin when we are born and end when we die, as far as this world is concerned, and they die out altogether as time goes on, and the place that knew us once knows us no more forever. But the name of Jesus shall be, his name shall endure forever. And now, looking at the subject from that viewpoint, his name. What is his name? His name is God. This wondrous man of whom we tell is true Almighty God. He died to save our souls from hell. The price his own heart's blood. And as he went about on earth, looked upon as verily man, yet often there was wondrous evidence given that he was verily God. And many hundreds of poor sinners could see by living faith communicated the God shines gracious through the man. And you know how many there were with their incurable cases who drew near to Jesus or were taken and laid down at his feet, could discern who he was, and in their approaches to him, they owned him as Lord. Lord, help me, said the poor Canaanite woman, and that is how you draw near to God aright. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And now, when you think of his name as God, and yet think how as a wee babe he was seen in the manger cradle at Bethlehem, and yet his shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up him, declaring his name to be God, Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth. His name shall endure forever. And all those who do not receive this truth, and to whom his name is not what it is to people taught of God, they will see the evidence of his name It will be demonstrated before the judgment seat of Christ who he is. And what a solemn thing it will be if you should see Jesus Christ then, and then see him no more forever. Herein his dread words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. And you never knew me when you dwelt on earth. You despised my name, you set it aside, and you would not that I should have dominion over you. And now, as you sowed, even so you must reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption," the word of God tells us. And very solemn it will be to see Jesus Christ with a solemn frown upon his face, and then to hear his voice, and never to forget the echo of it forever and ever, "Depart from me, ye cursed." His name shall endure forever. His name is God. But then his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And you all know what the name of Jesus means: Savior. And what a Savior Jesus Christ is. Isaiah speaks about a Savior and a great one, and that he shall deliver his people, whatever their circumstances may be. And it tells us in this psalm, "For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper." Sometimes you sing about him like that: "Strong deliverer, be thou still our strength and shield." And it is good to know his name like that in our everyday lives. His name, as Jesus, shall endure forever. And oh, what wonderful power there is in that name. When you know it aright, when you feel it to be music in your ear, when you approach unto God, with whom you have to do, through him as the mediator, when you can no denial take while you plead for Jesus' sake, and his name as Jesus shall endure forever. But then the angel said also, when Jesus was born, he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. What an amazing condescension that was. When Jesus Christ came down into this world to save sinners. When you think of what the word of God declares concerning him: angels veil their faces before him and continually do cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And then to go to Bethlehem and see a wee babe, and to see Jesus. See him as Almighty God, who's breathed human breath, the Lord of life, experienced death. How it was done we can't discuss, but this we know: 'twas done for us. Do we know that? You say, "I should like to be sure about it." I'm glad you feel like that. And therefore, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Do not take it for granted. Ask for evidence upon evidence to confirm you that he died in your stead, and that when he died on Calvary's cross, you have the mercy to realize it was for you, a poor sinner, otherwise undeserving and hell deserving. How it was done we can't discuss, the hymn writer says. We must not discuss it. Discussion of these all important matters in the things of God has sometimes done much more mischief than good in the Church of Christ. His name shall endure forever. His name then is Emmanuel, God with us. And that means, if God be for us, who can be against us? It means that as you journey on, and you are helped in the troubles that beset you in journeying on, if you're enabled to walk in agreement with God therein, accepting his will for what your suffering shall be, or whatever the way is he shall ordain for you to go along, you will realize he is Emmanuel, God with us. And it is one of the greatest privileges that sinners born again can enter into when they are favored for a little while to walk with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? His name shall endure forever. Emmanuel, God with us. But then there is another name, whom, though we cannot comprehend, knowing thou art the sinner's friend, we love thee and adore. Oh, that name. His name shall endure forever as the sinner's friend. It may be when you think of Jesus, do you think of him? Are you one of those that do think upon his name, of whom Malachi tells? And a book of remembrance is written before God to record they that do so. The Lord bless you if you do. It will be well with you, they that think upon his name. But you think upon him most of all, it may be, as the sinner's friend. And you wonder if ever he will befriend such a poor sinner as you feel to be, such a great sinner. His name shall endure forever as the sinner's friend. And he will ever fulfill what you sing about and only half believe. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need, he's welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. His name shall endure forever. Oh, how many countless millions of poor sinners Jesus Christ has befriended along the world's history and made them manifest as belonging to the Church of Christ, militant, saved with an everlasting salvation. His name shall endure forever as the sinner's friend. And Isaiah helps us about his name, and he tells us his name shall be called Wonderful. And it is a good name, a most appetite name to give to Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful. And all that he does is wonderful. And in the doing of it, he makes known his glory. He is wonderful because he is verily God, verily man. And because he is wonderful, you and I have the privilege to draw near to God in his name and to be made welcome in doing so. His name shall be called Wonderful. And what wonderful things he has done down through the ages. And the most wonderful of all, in your eyes, will be if he has brought you down at his feet as a suppliant for mercy and granted you a good hope through grace, and that you are now found a follower of the meek and lowly Jesus, desiring to live your life and he to have dominion over it. His name shall endure forever. And you might think of this name. Isaiah tells us also His name shall be called Wonderful, and then he adds another name. And you can put the two together, and it will be helpful in pondering it. Counselor. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And oh, how you and I do need counsel such as God alone can communicate. How often nowadays we are brought to our wit's end, all our wisdom is swallowed up, and we have to say, O Lord, we know not what to do, but our eyes are up unto Thee. And what has He said to encourage you regarding this name? If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I've told you sometimes about that interpolation there, and upbraideth not. It is very striking, and it should encourage you, because what it means is this: few, if any, come to Jesus, till reduced to self-despair. Long we either slight or doubt him, till when all the means we try, find we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. And when we do, he upbraideth not. He does not say, you have been trying to do all you can in this trouble, and now when you find you can do nothing, get help from nowhere else, you come to me. He does not upbraid you like that, but he lends a listening ear, and he makes manifest his hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, do think on this name, Counselor. You might be in need of counsel this Sabbath afternoon. You might be concerned, exercised, as to know what to do in some particular matter. Do you lay it down at Jesus' feet? Be like Hezekiah when he spread the letter he received before the Lord. And if you're helped to do that, you will find his word a sure word. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. His name is Counselor. Much might be said about his name, and you might take up the whole of the sermon just simply going through some of his names. But as there are about 150 names given to Jesus in the Word of God, I can only just say a little about a few. His name shall endure forever. And in whichever way you think upon his name, he will fulfill what that name implies in his dealings with you. If it is to know he is the sinner's friend, he will not fail to befriend you. If it is you want to know him as Counselor, he will make the way plain before you, show you the way, and tell you, this is the way, walk ye in it. Whatever the name sets forth, that he will fulfill in every jot and tittle of its meaning. And above all, he is Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. His name shall endure forever. And now the subject goes on. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. In the original, it is very striking, as godly scholars tell us. Calvin tells us in his commentary on the Psalms, his name shall be sunned, S-O-N-N-E-D, which is to tell us that in every age there will be those who follow the hymn writer when he says, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ears. It soothes their sorrows, heals their wounds, and drives away their fears. I believe at the present time, God has got many more people who believe in him and desire to love him and serve him and show whose they are and whom they serve, then many people think he has. In that he may have dominion also. We must not overlook that viewpoint of it, that in all things he shall have the preeminence. And those who love his name are not always to be seen in places where God is worshipped aright, where they would be if they could be, because there are many who are hounded about in the world and suffering for righteousness' sake, and they have no certain dwelling place, and they cannot gather together as we are favored to do, but they know what it is to love his name and to deal with him and do business in heaven's marketplace every day they live, and get some help by the way to live unto him and live for him. There are many such characters beneath the sun who desire to follow Jesus in their everyday lives, yet they cannot always be seen and numbered with those who gather in the means of grace. And there is one more viewpoint of it. I've thought what a striking word that is. The psalmist uses in one of his psalms, he is speaking concerning the people of God, and then he turns aside and he says, "Thy hidden ones." And who can tell how many hidden ones God has? There are many people hidden from the public eye, but they are not hidden from the eye of God, with whom they have to do and whom they desire to worship, though they cannot worship him as you and I are favored to do. Do keep that in your minds and ask God to make you large-hearted. While we believe the doctrines of grace, as we do, and we believe in elect in love, seeing it is a number which no man can number, who are made manifest as God's elect and blessed in him, you should keep that thought uppermost and not dwell upon that there is just the few that your eyes look upon who are following on to know the Lord. God has millions more scattered worldwide who are on his side and desire to make known to the world at large they are. And some are suffering very severely to make it manifest. And you and I ought to be thankful for the privileges that we possess, that we are not being put to such a test as they are. And yet when we hear and read of some who are put to that test, it is wonderful how they find the things of God such a blessed reality in their souls, and that in their sufferings they have meat to eat which the world knows not of. And they are led into the truth, and it is made a reality in their lips and lives. And it must be so. His name shall be sunned, which is to say, in every age he shall have those who profess his dear name, and not only profess it, but they have the possession in their hearts, being called by his grace. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And now whatever the future holds in store, and hell is let loose on the earth at the present time, keep this thought uppermost. The Church of Christ will only go on and increase. Mark that word in, and increase. You look round at what we see of the Church of Christ, and we think, what a low state it is in. But let us hear Isaiah speak on the subject, and you will find there is something wherein we can thank God and take courage. of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You see, the devil can do his worst with hell at his beck and call to help him do it. But God will be doing what he purposes to do. And he has said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. His name shall endure as long as the sun. His name shall endure forever. And so while you look on at the professing Church of Christ, and alas, it is honeycombed with heresy and hypocrisy, very solemn it is to think of a so-called archbishop, a leader of the national church, going to preach in a Roman Catholic pulpit. Alas for the glory of England at the time of the Reformation, when popery was dethroned and Protestant truth was made a reality and the Word of God to be the foundation on which our national life was to be built up. And now it is being pulled down till hardly a semblance of Protestant truth remains in many of the so-called churches. It is just a name to live, but they are dead. What a mercy if you and I are alive, and if these things are to us things which make us concerned to sigh and cry for the iniquities done in our land, and that we might be more like what we profess to be, to show whose we are and whom we serve. Oh, dear friends, this is what we stand by. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And it is good sometimes to sing, Jesus shall reign, where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. And now look at this beautiful and blessed truth. And let your consciences tell you, if you come inside it, I hope many of you do, blessed be God, and men shall be blessed in him. Are you altogether a stranger to the blessing of the Lord which maketh rich? Oh, you say, some of you, I hope not. One thing you may feel, I wish I could go deeper down into what that blessing is, and be able to tell out more about it. It might be if you told out what you know already, your heart would be enlarged to tell out a great deal more. And you might ponder that word prayerfully. God has guaranteed men shall be blessed in him. And now, what does that mean? Jesus Christ said, it is a beautiful word, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Adam had life when he came from his Creator's hands and was made a living soul, and he and Eve dwelt in Eden's garden. And they lived that life that God ordained as creatures, living before their Creator's eye. But that life had a limitation. It was limited by a law under which God placed them. Thou shalt not do this. Yet they had a free will to do it, if their free will prompted them to do it. And alas, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, and the Adam fall took place. and Adam could no longer live that life in Eden's garden, in the midst of all created earthly happiness that mortal mind could conceive. But the Lord God drove him out, and the woman too. And the world was then under a curse. And it still remains under it. Yes. And you, being born a sinner, the law says concerning you and me, as we were born, cursed is the man that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. But you and I cannot do them. And now the great mercy is, when the eyes of the blind are opened, and you are brought before that holy law, and realize your utter inability to do good, your absolute helplessness in things divine, and then to fall down before God and tell him all the truth as to what you feel. If my soul is sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. And when you get there, the Lord will appear for you, and the blessed Spirit of God will lead you into another aspect of the truth, that while under the law, all mankind born under it is cursed with a tremendous curse beyond words to describe. At Calvary's cross, men shall be blessed in him who died thereon. Oh, that is the beautiful gospel tidings of great joy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And it is this poor sinner before the law of God, realizing his undone state in the Adam fall, who knows what it means to be lost. But then men shall be blessed in him with life. And going back to that word, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, you see, dear friends, at least I hope you do, that under the gospel we live a much more abundant life than Adam could live in Eden's garden, or the Old Testament saints lived throughout Old Testament times. For they had to live under the rites and ceremonies of the ceremonial law, and they were, while they had wonderful faith to look forward to when Jesus Christ should be born, they had not the liberty and privileges granted to us who live under the gospel. And that is a thing for which you should say thank you to God. And men shall be blessed in him with life. And now, do you possess it? The life of God. What a wonderful consideration. Ye must be born again. Margin, ye must be born from above. If you only thought of that text and the margin reading, which is what it is in the original, you would see how utterly impossible it is for man to be saved by any doings of his own, or any free will that some folks think man can exercise and do as he pleases, whether he will receive Jesus Christ or no. Ye must be born from above. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Then, you see, the sovereignty of God governs all this. And men shall be blessed in him. And those who were blessed in him, they were blessed in him before time was born or the world was built. Blessed in him in the everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Blessed in him with life. What will evidence that life? Oh, they are blessed in him because they find something well enough in their breast which they never felt before, and that is they want to get in touch with God where it is possible to do so, at Calvary's cross. And it can be said of them, behold, he prayeth. Behold, she prayeth. Can you go back to a time like that, which was born in your life, when you were taught to pray? When you stood near to the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, what a mercy that is. Men shall be blessed in him. They shall be taught to pray. And they shall learn, as the outcome, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men shall be blessed in him. How would the powers of darkness boast if but one praying soul were lost? The thing is impossible, and let it be unthinkable. Men shall be blessed in him. They shall be blessed in him with hope in God. And you, dear people, if you weigh the matter up, as I hope you will do, you are not here without God and without hope, are you? There may be some, just a few, who as yet possess no good hope through grace, and in that viewpoint are without God. And as they feel at present, they are well content to be as they are. And that is the thing that should be our concern as a people, that the dead might hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it live. It is that viewpoint of preaching the gospel that breaks down pastors in their health and nearly breaks their hearts too. When you feel like Moses did concerning Israel, oh that they were wise, oh that they understood this, oh that they would consider their latter end, which may be today, could be tomorrow, must be some tomorrow. And then, to go into eternity without God and without hope, it is tremendous, dear friends. No preacher can tell you what that really means, but it will be an awful reality. A-W-E-F-U-L is the awful there. And you will find as long as God shall God remain, so long shall last hell's lingering pain. Oh, that they were wise. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Men shall be blessed in him. Oh, how good it is to be blessed with hope. Who can tell but what God will be gracious unto me, is how that hope begins. Men shall be blessed in him with forgiveness of sins through this man, whose name shall endure forever. There is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He made that manifest often when he dwelt on earth a while. And now he is in heaven. He can still bestow this inestimable mercy upon poor sinners in their felt need of it. Forgiveness is a joyful sound to malefactors doomed to die. Oh, may this bliss in me be found. May I, redeeming grace, enjoy. Men shall be blessed in him. They shall be blessed in him in their circumstances, because he will make his goodness to pass before them and sort their circumstances out and cause his dear people to see all things working together for good. And they have only to look on and see God at work on their behalf. And then men shall be blessed in him with sanctified trouble. And what a blessing that is. When trouble like a gloomy cloud shall gather thick and thunder loud, you will feel he near my soul has always stood. His loving kindness, oh how good. men shall be blessed in him, beyond words of any preachers to describe. And this subject continues, all nations shall call him blessed. And now that means, this is what the word blessed means here, all nations shall speak well of him. Just what you and I desire to do, as grace is given. All nations, people of every kindred, tribe and tongue, dwell on his name with sweetest song. And whoever you may get in touch with, if you can understand according to their nationality what they're telling you about Jesus Christ, you will find they're speaking well of him. And they desire to belong to him, living and dying. And in speaking well of him, not only by their tongue, in what they say, but where they go, and the company they keep, and in their everyday lives, they desire to speak well of him, and show to the world at large whose they are and whom they serve. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. And remember, if as yet you cannot speak about being blessed in him as your soul desires, I can just tell you what the Word of God says to encourage you. Jesus will not your cry forget. You shall obtain the blessing yet. Amen.
God willing, the pastor will preach on Christmas Day so as to commence at 10:30. Let's now sing hymn number 730.
Tune Diadem 130.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the world diadem, and crown him Lord of all. 730.
pray the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon us and upon all who love the truth everywhere. Amen and amen.